Good morning. Our first presenter today is Dan Glavin. Dan joined Dielectric in 2018 as an electrical engineer, specializing in systems design, data analysis, and R&D. Dan tells me he enjoys golf, but has been too busy to get in a few rounds lately, so we're glad to have him here. Dan.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for waking up early. I'm delighted to be here for the first time at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Clinic. For those of you that I may have seen 2 weeks ago at the IEEE Symposium, this is a perfect time for you to get a second cup of coffee. As the moderator said, my name is Dan Glavin. I'm an electrical engineer with Dielectric, and today I will be discussing the importance of real-time monitoring and the next generation of broadcast system monitoring. Today I'll discuss common minor issues that are encountered relating to antenna and broadcast system installation that lead to major issues and collateral damage. Next, I will discuss the importance of current practices, but with an emphasis on the shortcomings inherent to these practices. Next, I will discuss the approach to establishing the next generation of monitoring systems. I will close with an overview of results obtained through prototyping, development, and testing. To begin, I would like to show you what can happen to your antenna system when it is not under the watchful eye of a real-time monitoring system. While this is a rather bizarre occurrence, the end result is analogous to many common occurrences in broadcast. This particular instance occurred at Bear Creek Microwave Site in Central California. A woodpecker needed a place to store its acorns, and what better spot than a wireless telecommunications antenna? The sheer volume of the acorns caused the cover of the antenna to physically bulge. The presence of the material directly in front of the aperture eventually caused the antenna to completely fail in service. It is estimated that the collection of acorns was accumulated over the course of 5 years. This issue lasted 5 years too long. Luckily, this issue only required inexpensive repair, but did result in system downtime. This is a prime example of out of sight, out of mind. 35 to 50 gallons or 300 plus pounds of acorns were released from this antenna. This woodpecker was saving up for life. The nature of the damage to this system allows for reflection and can be laughed at in hindsight, but I'm sure that it prompted more frequent system inspections and regular preventative maintenance measures. If the system had a real-time monitoring system, this issue would have been identified and repaired and could have been repaired optimally, minimizing service disruption. The fundamental purpose of real-time monitoring is designed to monitor transmission line and the associated components. Transmission line is a vital component in a broadcast system. The installation of transmission line is a tedious but critical process that must be performed with tremendous attention to detail. This is very easy for someone to say that designs, assembles, and tests antennas comfortably on the ground, unlike installation crews that handle 100-pound fine china while over 1,000 feet in the air. Components and joints can become susceptible to failures over time. The longevity of some critical components is a function of antenna usage and cycling. Constant cycling will cause repetitive expansion and contraction that will reduce the life expectancy of components that otherwise would last significantly longer under constant broadcast conditions. Each component to a broadcast system is handled by several people, beginning with manufacturing and ending with installation. With this being considered, there exists an element of human error in this sequence from manufacturing to installation. While quality control and inspection deters many potential risks from entering the field, this too contains its own element of human error. Minor field issues. The following slides display instances of minor field issues encountered during field installations. These issues are considered to be minor solely due to the fact that they were recognized either during the commissioning sweep of a system or during pressurization testing, and were not subject to full power broadcast, essentially preventing catastrophic results. The first figure shows a damaged and folded contact surface on a gas stop barrier. This damage could have occurred in transit or in installation. The discontinuity at the gas stop barrier creates an area susceptible to series arcing between outer conductors. Over prolonged occurrence, the impedance mismatch at this location increases. Arcing will become more frequent, and the metal will continually deteriorate. This issue could evolve into sustained inner to outer arcing, eventually leading to component failure. This could also potentially result in melting components and or combustion inside of the transmission line. Figure 2 shows a transmission line connector with a pinched Teflon insulator. This insulator was pinched between transmission line flanges during installation. Similarly, O-rings can easily become pinched between flanges and are equally as dangerous to the system. The pinched material introduces an undesired dielectric between outer conductors, minimizes the contact surface between components, and creates a strong potential for series arcing. Depending on the magnitude of the contact surface separation, as well as the location of the pinched component, this may not be diagnosed during a system's commissioning sweep. In this figure, a buildup of carbon material can be seen on a Teflon insulator. This carbon material could have been the result of debris or dirt deposited in the system that was not cleaned prior to powering the system. Excessive buildup of carbon material, if gone untreated, can result in melting Teflons and potentially fire inside the transmission line. These events can cause significant damage to entire systems and are not localized to a particular area. The remediation process is both extensive and costly. The remediation process consists of breaking each transmission line joint, sweeping off the debris, cleaning the Teflon with denatured alcohol, and then connecting the flanges again, all while the system is shut down. This process will need to continue from the point of interest downward to ensure no undesired debris lingers in the system. This can result in hours or days of system downtime, depending on the severity. Figure 4 displays a split bullet connector. The split finger of the connector reduces the surface area of connectivity necessary for effective signal transfer. The critical spacing between outer conductor and inner conductor is also compromised, creating an impedance mismatch that fosters an environment for arcing from either the outer conductor to the connector or the inner conductor to the connector. The arrow in this photo shows that the nose guard protector of the connector fingers, designed to facilitate installation and reduce the likelihood of split connectors, was still in fact intact at the time of installation. The instances I have just shown may seem rather innocent. If it were not for the experience and detective work performed by both installation crews and field engineers, these issues could have ended catastrophically. Fault detection circuits and fail-safes built into today's transmitters are relied upon and tremendously trusted. In the case that a transmitter fails to shut down, a real-time, full-power monitoring system is an added layer of protection. The following photos are from a broadcast site that was on the unfortunate end of a non-functional transmitter fault detection circuit. This figure shows an anchor bullet connector with a melted Teflon insulator. In the absence of the Teflon, the inner conductor no longer has a stabilizing structure to center itself inside the outer conductor. This allows the inner conductor to move freely and causes a fluctuating impedance mismatch and will eventually lead to complete failure of the connecting structure. The debris from the melted Teflon coats the inner conductor and litters the line below. The presence of this debris lowers the power handling capability of the line. This is a powerful image showing the level of destruction that can happen when component degradation goes unnoticed. This picture shows a pile-up of transmission line inner conductors that fell on top of one another and next to one another. These pieces had to be sawed off in order to start the repair process, as breaking the outer conductor flange would not allow for any separation or working area. The root cause of this pileup of inner conductors was a failed connector. Without a supporting connector component, nothing stabilizes the inner conductor and causes a domino effect of falling inner conductors. This image shows the collection of melted insulators, stacked inner conductors, and pile of soot that resulted from the combustion that took place inside of the transmission line. The purpose of this final image is to show the trickle-down effect that a serious fault can have on an entire system. This collection of Teflon, brass, and copper debris was gathered from on top of various Teflon pieces at different elevation levels of the transmission line run. The debris is so fine that it can travel through the tuning holes located in the Teflon insulators. an isolated fault can incur widespread damage and extensive downtime for system remediation. The overall goal of this in-depth analysis of minor issues resulting in collateral damage is to prevent this from happening again. A live monitoring system can prevent failures in transmission line through early detection of degradation and frequent arcing. It can alert the user with a high level of accuracy to the location of the fault. Preventative maintenance can be scheduled ahead of time rather than in emergent fashion to mitigate the cost associated with the maintenance, as well as the window of time in which the maintenance will be performed. A discussion about the current measurement practices is important in understanding what these practices are intended to do, as well as where they fall short. Upon complete installation of an antenna and transmission line feed system, a commissioning system characterization is performed through TDR measurements. Once the system is given the seal of approval to broadcast at full power, the only continued monitoring system for the life of the system tends to be the forward and reflected power measurements that the transmitter continually monitors. Arc detectors monitor the occurrence of arcs within a system and log the appropriate data accordingly. TDR measurements are performed while the system is off air under reduced power during a system's commissioning. The measurement is used to create a benchmark for the initial system characterization and to find anomalies that may be present. The TDR provides valuable information by localizing faults and the presence of impedance mismatches. The forward and reflected power monitoring of a system is analyzed by the transmitter. These measurements are typically quantified as VSWR and can be conveniently displayed on the transmitter's digital output screen. This information can influence the decision to shut down a system due to uncharacteristic performance. Arc detectors are able to identify arcing occurrences within a system. They also have the ability to interlock with the transmitter to reduce or discontinue transmitter power output. However important each of these measurement practices may be, they each fall short to what is necessary in today's industry. The forward and reflected power measurement is an aggregate response of the entire system's performance. These results are difficult to interpret. It inherently cannot discern benign changes of an antenna's performance to potentially dangerous changes located in transmission line. A broadcast system performance will change significantly with temperature and other environmental factors at the antenna level. A 102 to 105 change in VSWR is rather typical given various weather events such as intense humidity, thunderstorms, and ice accumulation on antenna radomes, whereas a 102 change in VSWR for a connector indicates a serious issue. Arc detectors are able to identify an arc occurrence but cannot localize the occurrence. With some systems consisting over 2,400 feet of transmission line, an arc detector provides an important bit of information but leaves the diagnostic and repair like searching for a needle in a haystack. TDR measures the response of a system under limited power. Under this limited power, anomalies can potentially go undetected. The results can only be used as an initial system characterization and cannot continue to compare the system's performance to the benchmark. Performing this measurement requires a system shutdown and a field-qualified engineer to perform it on site. The next generation of real-time monitoring system is the dielectric RF Hawkeye. The design of the system is to facilitate a seamless installation that can be retrofitted into existing sites and compatible with all current modulation schemes. This system has the ability to detect and localize arcs and discontinuities due to changes in transmission line integrity. It will characterize a system over time. It will also allow for discrete alarms to be established based on component characteristics. The system will operate full time while the system is broadcasting under full power conditions through the use of off-band injection. The system consists of a coupling unit located there, a processing unit, and a central monitoring unit. The coupling unit is manufactured from rigid coaxial transmission line to the same size transmission line utilized after the filter system and before the gas stop barrier of the unpressurized transmission line section inside the transmitter building. The reason for manufacturing it to the same size is to match the power handling capability of the overall system. The strategic placement of the coupling unit after the coaxial switch allows for the continuous monitoring of the system, whether or not it is in operation. The results of this can be very telling. This allows us to identify temperature-dependent mismatches by comparing measurements while the system is hot and after it has cooled down. Traditional TDR measurements cannot achieve this because the system will have already cooled down by the time test setup is complete. The RF Hawkeye can also be implemented into broadcast systems powering multiple antennas with dual transmission line runs, such as a main antenna and an aux antenna. A single RF Hawkeye unit paired with the desired number of coupling and processing units can monitor multiple different antennas. The information gathered by the processing unit is transferred to the Hawkeye central monitoring unit through a switch. The coupling unit is designed with two injection ports, allowing for a wideband VHF signal to be injected into the system. The design of the injection ports is to create a strong coupling factor of the VHF test signal onto the line. The injection port is designed with ports separated by half wavelength at the antenna system's design channel to filter the UHF signal so it does not contaminate the real-time time domain results. The shape of the coupler's response curve is a notch filter with 60 dB rejection at the UHF channel. At the output of the coupling unit, there's a low-pass filter to further attenuate the UHF signal by 90 dB. The filter is miniaturized and physically fits inside of the processing unit. The processing unit provides real-time data gathering, while the central monitoring unit boasts an IP interface for remote monitorization. The nature of this IP-connected system will alleviate the monitoring duties necessary for individual broadcasters. Today, transmitter fail-safe circuitry is highly trusted and is the only method used for system protection. As I showed, collateral damage can and does occur because these fail-safes do not operate at a 100% success rate. With the current monitoring products on the market, many questions linger. When an arc is detected in a system, but the transmitter does not shut down, what is the plan of action? Do we continue to broadcast on the main antenna and disregard the arcing event? Or do we switch to the potentially inferior system of the aux antenna and reduce our coverage while we schedule maintenance on the main? If the arc does incur a transmitter shutdown, what is the plan of action then? Do we turn the transmitter back on and hope it was an isolated event? These questions become ambiguous with the presence of an RF Hawkeye system. The system can detect changes in return loss of less than minus 45 dB to a localization accuracy of plus or minus 8 inches. The system meets or exceeds the FCC out-of-band emission standard of less than minus 110 dB to carrier. This system will also detect sustained arcs of greater than 100 microseconds. The user interface of the RF Hawkeye system is very user-friendly and allows for discrete alarms to be set according to individual component thresholds. This chart is an example of the distance to and number of arc occurrences organized by time frame. It displays arcing occurrences in three different categories. The green category is below the user set threshold, whatever that may be. The yellow category indicates a warning threshold, and red category triggers an alarm for arcing. This graph displays a degradation analysis in terms of return loss. The black index is the baseline measurement of a system, such as during the commissioning sweep on an antenna system. The blue index represents the current or latest measurement of the system. The yellow index represents the user-defined warning threshold, while the red index represents the alarm threshold. These thresholds can be interlocked with the transmitter to either reduce transmitter power output or to shut down the transmitter altogether. A scaling feature of the user interface can give a closer look at the performance of individual system components, such as reducers, elbows, and flanges. This view shows how components can approach the certain warning and alarm thresholds. A dynamic marker feature allows the user to identify an arbitrary location along a transmission line run. The featured data displays the baseline measurements, current or latest measurements, warning threshold, and alarm thresholds to inform the user of system trends and tendencies. The following slides display results obtained from actual live monitoring of the WGME UHF Channel 15 antenna located in Raymond, Maine. This graphic displays the gated analysis of the transmission line for this antenna system. The measurement is displayed as return loss as a function of position in feet relative to the coupling unit. The initial return loss spike in this measurement was identified as a UHF quick step transformer located inside the transmitter room of this site. This component intuitively has poor performance characteristics at VHF. The next return loss spike in the measurement is located at the transition from the horizontal transmission line run to the vertical portion of the transmission line run. The back-to-back coaxial elbows are the source of the impedance mismatch at this location. The proprietary software used to analyze the data gathered by the processing unit allows for isolation within the degradation analysis for a closer look at a certain range of transmission line. This figure displays a closer look at the degradation analysis of the system from 0 to 425 feet, referenced to the coupler unit. It can clearly be seen that upon entering the vertical transmission line run, the return loss spikes of mismatch occur 20 feet apart from one another. This result is intuitive given the fact that the transmission line run at this location is constructed from 20-foot sections of transmission line. This image contains a closer look at these impedance mismatches occurring 20 feet from one another over the course of a 100-foot section from 197 feet to 297 feet. This graphic displays the entire system's degradation analysis from coupler unit to the UHF antenna. The spikes referenced in this graphic are caused by the antenna input elbow complex consisting of back-to-back elbows separated by a segment of line and followed by another set of back-to-back elbows. At this point of the transmission line run, the feed system exits the broadcast tower via elbows and re-enters via elbows. The final spike of this degradation analysis represents the Channel 15 UHF antenna. The performance of this UHF antenna is intuitively poor over a broadband VHF signal. This final graphic shows the gated measurement of the final transmission line sections, the antenna input complex, and the UHF antenna. The poor performance of the antenna over the VHF signal acts as a final filter stage to the out-of-band injected signal. In conclusion, I have shown that many minor issues are encountered during the installation process of a broadcast system. Some of these issues can, fortunately, be seen on low-power commissioning sweeps. However, some of these system anomalies do go undetected, and the results can be catastrophic and cripple entire systems. Current practices have their place in today's industry and are important tools for monitoring broadcast systems. However, these practices are outdated, and with all of the advances in broadcast technology, we are ready for the next generation of monitoring systems. The RF Hawkeye is a powerful tool that is here to set broadcasters at ease by eliminating the need to shut down a system for testing and preventative maintenance measures. The system has been developed and tested to meet UHF broadcaster needs and is currently in the development phase to further meet the needs of all broadcasters. Finally, I would like to acknowledge our collaborator, DAC Systems, for all of their work. Without them, the industry would still be searching for the next generation of RF monitoring systems. Finished up a little early, but thank you for your time. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Harvey Arnold from Sinclair. I just wanted to make an observation, not really a question, but this is pretty exciting technology from a broadcaster's point of view, because practically speaking, we'd all like to do high-power line sweeps, you know, a lot of times each year. The reality is we don't do it enough, very, very seldom that we do maintenance high power sweeps. And if this works, if it really works, and we're excited about it because we're seeing the preliminaries that it really does, but this can really save a lot of money and a lot of burnouts. You know, we've been high-power television, high-power radio, and when you have a burnout, as you can see by some of the pictures, it's pretty nasty stuff, and it's costs so much money. And you know, you look at it, you say, gee, you know, how could it go from working pretty well to just really falling apart? And the reality is, it happens like that, and it's happened to way too many stations. So you know, I kind of feel like a doctor. I want to do the preventative maintenance to see these things happening, because we're certain that we could have saved a lot of major burnouts if we would have been able to look in and see. So we're just real excited about this. Just from a kind of a more selfish point of view, we don't want to spend the money to do these major repairs, and we don't want to lose airtime. So it's really exciting stuff, and we're looking forward to see more than one, because it's gonna prove itself or not prove itself. You know, it's either gonna be, you know, this is really saving time and effort and downtime and money, or you know, well, maybe some additional work needs to be done. So we're excited about it, and the results we can see. You know, you can see the very small arcs. It's really neat stuff. Anyway, I just wanted to let you guys know that.
From my short amount of time in the industry, it's been my understanding that in most antenna and broadcast systems, it has been set it and forget it, and operate reactively versus proactively. So this is a major groundbreaking change in the industry, and like Harvey had mentioned, this could potentially save tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars for major systems, reduce the amount of downtime for systems, and overall create a happiness for broadcasters and viewers alike.
I'm curious why you said you want to put your coupler after the antenna coax switch. I've had as many problems with the coax switches as I've had up the tower. And in all fairness, your transmission system starts with 100 transistors in parallel, and I've had combiners inside the transmitter burn up too. So if I were to put this into my system, I would want to put it on the output of the transmitter rather than halfway up the pipe.
So currently the system has been designed to install the coupling unit between the filter and the gas dot barrier. This system can also be used in conjunction with other industry systems, such as arc detectors, the RF Scout, VSWR monitors. The main reason that we see for installing it between the filter system and the gas dot barrier is to, the system's designed to monitor transmission line, not necessarily the antenna, but to monitor transmission line. And the main reason that we install it between the filter system and the gas dot barrier is for, to show temperature dependent impedance mismatches and how different system components can change from initial manufacturing to overall usage and constant cycling, and how the temperature of cycling the antenna system degrades the individual components.
So how far off is this technology for FM?
What was that?
How far off is this technology for FM?
For FM, that is a great question.
You just asked my question.
Currently, the technology is only functional over the UHF band. It's limited to a three-channel on a single pylon antenna. It is limited to a three-channel individual channel and next upper adjacent channel functionality. The next generation of this technology is to incorporate the functionality over a broadband panel antenna. After that, the next generation, I'll keep saying that, but the next generation, high band VHF, low band VHF, and finally FM. I don't have a timetable, but the results are promising, and we have a very high level of confidence that the desired coupling and the desired filtering necessary in the coupling unit can be designed directly into that coupling unit for any band.
So, yeah, he just basically asked the same question I was about to ask, but I have to say, this is a really, really promising and really impressive technology. As having suffered a couple of transmission line blowouts myself, I know the pain, but I could see the application. High power FM or combined systems, definitely an application there. So I look forward to what's coming.
I know today is TV day, but we won't forget about you FM guys. Thank you very much.